Capable of horrific violence. We're not going to allow these terrorists to find respite anywhere in Iraq.
No respite! We're not going to let them find respite!
Oh my God. It never changes. Christ, I go away for 10 days and the guy still can't talk. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, that was Mensa Man, the freighter of the Bush crime family, heading off to Israel tomorrow. Not soon enough for the Republican candidates. Oh, my God, do they want him out of the country. I bet they wish he'd stay there for the next 10 months, right? But he had a few words for the press before he left, so we have a sprinkling of moron sounds on the program tonight. Not too many. Don't want to hit you too hard on our first evening back. Thanks to Peter Werby and Johnny Wendell for filling in for me last week. Well, we took some time off. I do appreciate it. If you want to do something interesting, just for your own edification, this has nothing to do with the outcome of any election anywhere on earth except in Ron Paul's congressional district. But just for sport, go to Google or ask.com, do Google, I guess, and type in these words, Ron Paul, white supremacists. And then check out the thousands of hits that come up. And then you make your own decision. I wish everybody would get off the Ron Paul kick, for God's sake, especially young people. Especially young people. Look, folks, let me tell you something. If you're under the age of 30, libertarianism, right-wing libertarianism, is a joke. And Ron Paul is worse than a joke. I know he makes sense on the Iraq issue. But just do that. Enough said. Just do that. Sheila emailed right before the program. She writes, ain't it great? The media are losing in New Hampshire. Hillary is getting more than 2 votes. Tim Russert and Tom Brokaw came close to showing Hillary how to tear up. Yeah, well, MSNBC is declaring it too close to call in New Hampshire for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Who knows? I mean, what percent of the precincts have reported? I have no idea. I don't think it's half yet. Is it less than half? Is it about 15%? So it's neck and neck between Hillary and Barack. It may turn into a rout for Senator Obama, and it may not. But I think one thing that it is showing, it's showing all the pundits, everybody who wants to see Hillary fail. And, you know, I'm starting to adopt the Rachel Maddow mode where it concerns Hillary Clinton. I've been watching Rachel lately on MSNBC. She's becoming a regular. I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't get her own program soon. But her position is she would not support Hillary Clinton in anything. But the attacks against her are just border on the insane. They really, really do. I was listening to a talk show host the other night talking about how Hillary Clinton lost it in New Hampshire and sat there and sobbed with tears running down her eyes, which did not happen. Absolutely did not happen. And besides, how many times has Mitt Romney teared up? You know, I really am sick of the attacks on Hillary Clinton. She's not my candidate. She will not be my candidate. But this nonsense of going after her this way, anybody who thinks that this country has moved beyond, maybe we've made a big effort moving beyond racism, although that remains to be seen. One word, Gina. Two words, Arkansas. Was it Arkansas? Yeah. Or was it Mississippi? Was it Gina, Arkansas? Anyone who thinks we have moved beyond sexism is out of their minds. We have not. We have not. So we'll see what happens. As far as the Republican side, that clutch of worms that are trying to get the Republican nomination. Ooh, big surprise. John McCain won New Hampshire again. And once again, when he gets to South Carolina, he'll crash and burn, and somebody will start a rumor that he has a Negro child, and it will be all over for McCain again. As far as Huckabee, what, he come in fourth or fifth so far? Is that the projection? The problem is Huckabee can't drag along his Christers behind him so they can all run to the polls in various states and vote for him. Huckabee appeals to a certain constituency, right-wing, born-again, Christian fanatics. Once you get out of the realm of Christian fanatics, Huckabee is gone. And I wonder how many of these Christian fanatics understand that Huckabee is the only Republican candidate who has proposed killing Social Security and replacing it with, are you ready, a tax cut. All you right-wing Christians who go to church and raise your hands to heaven who are like 62, 63 years old, you're getting close, right? And you're supporting Huckabee? Are you out of your freaking minds? This man will cut your throat. Oh, and by the way, he wants to replace the federal income tax with the sales tax. Yeah, those people are still around. That's the Neil Bortz garbage, right? Oh, well, I know. Let's. And you know what the sales tax will be? 30%. That's what they're proposing. Now, who's going to pay for that? Who's going to be hit the hardest with that? Well, you can figure it out. So, and he's also pro-fence. Southern border, not northern border. The Canadians are white. They may talk a little funny, but they speak some sort of English. So no border fence in Canada, just in Mexico. Oh, my God. Oh, and he also wants to ban socialized medicine. You know what that means. All right. So McCain, McCain comes through in New Hampshire again, but, hang on. McCain will... crash. And Mitt Romney, I listened to Mitt Romney's concession speech tonight, and he was congratulating John McCain as if they had just come from an arm wrestling contest. And McCain won. Hey, way to go. I think you did a great job. Let's have a hand for McCain. This is insane. Romney's up there saying, let's have a hand for McCain. And his supporters are standing there going, clap, clap, clap. Mitt Romney has as much chance being president as I do. As far as Giuliani, what did he come in? Fifth. Giuliani, go home. Take your wives, your children, your screwed-up family. I don't know, put on a dress and go party. But get the hell out of the presidential. You're not going to go anywhere. His strategy is to win Florida. Yeah, okay. All right. Hang in there. That's about all I have to say about that. I'm fascinated with this creepy audio that came through on the... Here are four or five speedboats, aluminum craft about the size of our family bathtub here, cruising around, what, three U.S. naval destroyers or battleships or cruisers or something? And, just ditching and dodging around. Pew, 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 pew. And we got video to prove it. Pew, here comes one. Pew, there goes one. And then you hear this creepy voice.
I am coming for you. I'm going to blow up. Prepare to meet Elvis.
What is this? Who came up with...
I am coming for you.
Oh, my God. Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, who knew the Iranian Navy was so high-tech? Out harassing U.S. warships that strayed too close to their shore with big, bad aluminum speedboats. They don't look like much, but they have... have they ever gotten the state-of-the-art radios? You wouldn't think a man riding in a tin can on the open ocean doing 40 knots would come through so crystal clear, just like he was in the next room. I am coming for you. Good thing the Iranians tipped their hand and we got the video just before the New Hampshire primary. People might have forgot we're at war with Iran. And voted like they were worried about the economy instead, which, by the way, pray to, they're doing. Exit polls showing people really don't give a goddamn about Iran. They really don't. And Prairie 2 writes, and all those silly sailors say this happens every time our ships get too close to Iran. Why, the commander-in-chief made it perfectly clear that this is a new escalation on the part of those evil Muslims. Good thing we're getting close to that optimum attack window. What day was that? Oh, yeah, Super Tuesday. Iranian provocation. Oh, for God's sake. Will somebody please. Google Ron Paul and white races. just do that. Something else here on the Iranian thing. Can you imagine what would happen if the Iranian Navy, I don't know, they have a Navy? I have no idea. If the Iranian Navy were to send three or four of their big ships to cruise around Louisiana and Texas, maybe 100 yards, 150 miles offshore, and made threatening noises about maybe attacking the United States with nuclear weapons. Think about that during the break.
It's so easy when you're evil. This is the life you see. The devil tips his hat to me. I do it all because I'm evil. And I do it all for free. Your tears are all the pay you'll ever need.
Born through a party in the county jail.
It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
I am coming for you.
I am coming for you. Soon you die, Big Boom. I'm coming for you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's Elvis's birthday. Did you see this full-page ad in yesterday's New York Times? I'm sure it's been around. It's an ad for Cheney Care. Cheney Care. It has a headline from New York Times, Cheney treated in hospital for an irregular heartbeat. And the ad is put together by the National Nurses, California Nurses Association, and the National Nurses Organizing Committee. And it says if he were anyone else, he'd probably be dead by now. The patient's history and prognosis were grim: 4 heart attacks, quadruple bypass, angioplasty, an implanted defibrillator, and now an emergency procedure to treat an irregular heartbeat. For millions of Americans, this might be a death sentence. For the vice president, just another medical treatment, and it costs him very little. You see, the president, vice president, members of Congress all enjoy government-financed health care with few restrictions or prohibitive fees. They are never turned away for pre-existing conditions or denied care for what an insurance company labels experimental treatments. Such are the benefits of what we call Cheney Care. And the rest of us deserve no less. Yeah, and how many of these candidates are in favor of Cheney Care? Well, let's see. Hillary is not. Barack Obama is not. Kucinich is the only Democrat who wants a single-payer system. John Edwards is not. Giuliani is not. Romney is not. McCain is not. Thompson is not. Huckabee is not. And, of course, Kucinich has as much chance of being president as Huckabee does, which is to say, zero. By the way, we here in the Malloy program are drifting very strongly towards John Edwards. Very strongly towards Edwards.
I am coming for you. I am coming for you. I am Akbar the American. I have bombs on my boat. I'm coming for you.
I'm coming for you. Dave Lindorf, writing at Op-Ed News today about this Iranian provocation. When I heard about this the other day, I just thought, oh, God, here we go. As a matter of fact, if you really put your mind to it, try this. Straits of Hormuz, Gulf of Tonkin, Straits of Tonkin, Gulf of Hormuz, Straits of Tonkin. By God, they sound exactly alike, don't they? But you see, this time we have video. Now, the Iranian provocation, keep in mind, was it back in May that Cheney actually was airlifted with all of his emergency equipment to an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf that is part of the U.S. Armada, and on that aircraft carrier, from the flight deck, threatened to have the U.S. massively attack Iran. Who's provoking whom?
We're coming to get you.
We're coming for you. I am coming for you.
Dave Lindorf writes, now, one news story about this last week, this week's chapter in the administration's ongoing effort to gin up a crazy war with Iran, the so-called provocation caused by Iranian naval speedboats approaching with the 200 meters U.S. destroyer. Not one report mentioned that the U.S., which actually sits some 7,500 miles away from Iran, has sent a whole fully armed armada into the Persian Gulf just off Iran's coast. Who's the provocateur here? I mean, seriously. I don't give a tinker's damn about Ahmadinejad. I'm not a pro-Iranian. I believe in live and let live. But who really is the provocateur here? Who is the one stirring the crapper? You tell me. Who's doing it, huh? Are the Iranians off the coast of Louisiana with an armada of warships threatening to drop nukes on Baton Rouge? No, they're not. And as Lindorf writes, imagine for a moment that Iran had set its navy to patrol in the Gulf of Mexico. In international waters, just off the coast of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and that its leader flew out to one of those ships and threatened to take out America's oil infrastructure, how do you think the U.S. government would react? How do you think the American people would react? Do you think the U.S. would send naval vessels out to provokingly sail close to Iranian ships? Huh? Do you think the U.S. might do more than that and maybe sink the ships? So what do we expect the Iranians to do in this situation? Just to keep their fleet moored in harbors and watch the U.S. fleet sail up and down the Gulf and out in the Arabian Sea off their southern coast unchallenged? Oh, my God. Yeah, Cheney used the deck of the U.S. Aircraft carrier John C. Stennis in the Persian Gulf to deliver the threat back in May against Iran. And who is provoking whom? Oh, right before your eyes, creeping laughter from the skies. And he laughs until he cries, and he dies, and he dies. Comets on the shoes about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. You gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show.
Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
I am coming at you. You will explode in a couple of minutes. I don't know. I'm coming at you.
Oh, my God. As far as the Republicans are concerned, where it concerns Iraq and Iran, Giuliani wants to stay the course in Iraq. That means more death and destruction. And he wants total regime change in Iran. Woo-hoo! Mitt Romney? He wants to stay the course in Iran, but he wants Ahmadinejad tried for what he calls incitement to genocide. Jesus God. Incitement to genocide. All right, Mitt, Willard, McCain? Oh, poor McCain. He's still saying, well, we should have sent more troops to Iraq in 03. He would attack a nuclear Iran. Just flat out attack. Fred Thompson, attack Iran. No diplomacy. Mike Huckabee, well, he supports diplomacy with Iran. I guess that means, convert to Christianity or we'll kill you.
I'm coming at you. I am coming at you, American pig!
Bush, you got to hear this, because we have one where it concerns the Iranians. We have a couple of concerns the Iranians. But he gave a very quick briefing today because, you see, he's on his way to Iraq. I'm sorry, not Iraq, Israel. He's going to Israel. Yes, he's going to Israel. That should be quite a trip, huh? He's going to, not only Israel, but he's going to the Middle East. He's going all over the place: Egypt, Oman, the UAE, I think, Israel, just all over the place. I like Bush as much as I like oral cancer. But I will tell you this, he's got to be out of his freaking mind. He's also going to go to the Palestinian territories. This is not the actions of a brave man. These are the actions of an absolute stoned-out fool who, I guess, thinks that because God told him to invade two and possibly three Muslim countries, that somehow God has dropped a shield around him and he's okay. Were I George Bush, in fact, I probably would not leave Crawford, Texas. But this freak is going to go to the Middle East. Oh, boy. So anyway, the Republican candidates who are out in New Hampshire, most of them today, you know, trying to con the American public into 8 more or 12 more or 16 more years of this horror that we've been dealing with these sons of bitches since 1994. I'm sure they hated to see their bit of FaceTime on the television networks being preempted by Man or Monkey as he's talking about, he's going, I'm on Middle East. I'm over Middle East. We're going to talk peace. That's what we're going to do. Just got to hold on until next October. But there he was in front of the cameras reminding the potential voters in New Hampshire what a total disaster this Republican presidency and Congress has been. You want an example? Here's too stupid to chew a pretzel stammering about all the improvements in Iraq.
The leaders I met today updated me on important work they're doing and the progress they had made. For example, our PRT leaders in Baghdad report they have now mentored district councils and public work departments.
Woo-hoo!
In several neighborhoods.
Woo-hoo!
Provided funding for generators to help build up local markets. And our PRT leaders in Kirkuk report that they helped broker a settlement that brought Sunnis back into the provincial council after a year-long boycott.
Woo-hoo!
They also helped the provincial government successfully execute the budget.
Yeah.
Assisted local enterprises with small business loans.
Yeah.
And helped establish a major crimes court in the province that is providing citizens with equal justice under the law.
Yeah.
Our enemies in Iraq have suffered blows in recent months, but they're still dangerous.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're not yet defeated.
No, they're not.
As we saw yesterday, when terrorists killed the leader of a concerned local citizens group, the enemy remains capable of horrific violence.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow these terrorists to find respite anywhere in Iraq.
No respite, you sons of bitches. No respite. Our PRT leaders. What does PRT stand for? I have no idea. Congressman Robert Wexler, of course, says that all this about the surge is nothing but lies. He says the Republicans are talking about how the surge in Iraq has been a resounding success. Wexler says, in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. This assertion, Wexler writes in a letter to one of our listeners, Steve, who forwarded it to me, this assertion is disingenuous, factually incorrect, negatively impacts America's national security. And it goes on and on and on. But there's Bush out there today talking about no respite for these people. No,
I am coming at you.
I am coming. I am coming at you. I'm going to blow up your boat. I'm coming at you.
Mensa man, after making a statement, then answered a few questions from the press, starting with this brilliant analysis of the Iran-U.S. standoff in the Strait of Hormuz the other day. Reporter said, Mr. President, what do you make of the incident in the Strait of Hormuz with Iran on Sunday? Do you think they were trying to provoke a fight with the U.S.?
I don't know what their thinking was, but I'm telling you what I think it was. I think it was a provocative act. It was a dangerous situation. And they should not have done it. Pure and simple.
Pure and simple. Our commander-in-chief is a military genius, isn't he? It's a dangerous situation, and they should not have done it. Pure and simple. Such a concise, complete understanding of the situation and the ramifications of actions on each side. The man is a bleeding genius. He would make Alexander the Great look like a piker. He would make Darius of Persia look like an amateur. He shouldn't have done it. Dangerous.
I am coming at you.
Ready for more foreign policy wisdom from the leader of the formerly free world? Here he describes what he hopes to accomplish on his trip to Israel. This is going to be some trip.
It's important to lay out a vision. In order for there to be a Palestinian state, once roadmap obligations are met. What has to happen in order for there to be a peaceful settlement of a long-standing dispute is there to be a outlines of a state clearly defined.
Yeah?
So that at some point in time,
yeah,
the Palestinians who agree that Israel ought to be exist and agree that the state ought to live side by side with Israel in peace have something to be for.
Wait a minute. Can you cue that up again? What? The outlines of a state clearly defined so that at some point in time the state ought to live with Israel by peace and have something.
I am coming at you.
It's important to lay out a vision in order for there to be a Palestinian state once roadmap obligations are met. What has to happen in order for there to be a peaceful settlement
you are going to explode.
Of a long-standing dispute is there to be a outlines of a state clearly defined.
On the roadmap.
So that at some point in time, the Palestinians who agree that Israel ought to be exist.
Yeah, that's good.
And agree that the state ought to live side by side with Israel in peace have something to be for.
Amen! By God, I agree with that! You're damn right! You go, George.
I am coming at you. There will be big explosion. Your boat will go down.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's all. No more. No. It's our first night back. I don't want to totally overwhelm you with madness and insanity. Who's this from? Susan in Massachusetts writes, Mike, wasn't it interesting that the one candidate for president who has consistently opposed this warmongering, this constitution-shredding administration, has refused the right to appear in the debate this past weekend? How is it that Senator Kucinich poses such a threat, or Congressman Kucinich poses such a threat that the corporate media dare not allow his message to be heard? How is it that he's the only candidate who never voted for the authorization to use force against Iraq, or the U.S. Patriot Acts 1 and 2, or the continued financing of the occupation of Iraq? He has spoken clearly about the crimes committed by this administration, the spying, the lying, and the ignored laws. The only real Democrat in this crowd of Republican-like contenders. What is it they're so afraid he'll say? Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, Susan. That's from Susan in South Egremont, Mass. I have no idea what they're afraid of, but Dennis Kucinich is not allowed to make his case, at least not on national TV.
I am coming at you!
And the greatest is love. Stop turning that September day. Teaching a class full of innocent children, driving down some cold interstate. Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you love her? Did you dust off that Bible at home?
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology,
Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French.
The representatives of the government of the State of Israel and the Palestinian Liberation Organization represented respective Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and President Mahmoud Abbas.
And Vice President Dick Schumer, Charker, Dick Cheney. Cheney. I now know what the PRT in the one soundbite tonight, what it stands for, the PRT leaders, that represents the Iraq Provisional Reconstruction Team, PRT, Provincial Reconstruction Team Leaders, Provincial. I guess that's referencing the provinces in Iraq, and the reconstruction team leaders are Iraqis who are out there diligently reconstructing things, which apparently is not going very well. I understand. There are all kinds of vegetable stands opening, and fishmongers are busily at work. And there's a guy that every network keeps photographing. He cuts hair on the street in a former Sunni neighborhood that was ethnically cleansed. That's why there's no violence in the neighborhood anymore. Every Sunni has been decapitated. There's this. We're going to get to your phone calls. This is from Kabul, Afghanistan. The other place where, according to Cheney, we have liberated 20 million people. It says here, Afghanistan's Islamic Council has told President Hamid Karzai to stop foreign aid groups from converting local people to Christianity and has demanded the reintroduction of public executions. The council is made up of the Islamic clergy and religious scholars from various parts of Afghanistan. It made a warning in a statement Friday during a meeting with Mr. Karzai. The ulema, or religious scholars, have always played a crucial role in Afghanistan and have been behind several revolts against past governments. The council said it was concerned about the activities of some missionary and atheistic groups, saying that the actions were against Islamic Sharia, the constitution, and political stability. And according to a copy of the statement that they gave to Hamid Karzai, the former Unocal oil lobbyist, if not prevented, God forbid, catastrophe will emerge, which will not only destabilize the country, but the region and the world. Son of a bitch! All right! Get the missionaries out! Wow! Quoting what he said were reliable sources, Ahmad Ali Jabari, a member of the council and a member of parliament, said unnamed Christian missionaries had offices in Kabul and in the provinces to convert Afghans. Some non-governmental organizations, quote, are encouraging them, giving them books, and promise to send them abroad, end quote. They're serious. You remember last year, 23 South Korean missionaries, Christian missionaries, were kidnapped by the Taliban, and two of them were beheaded. And the rest were set free, but the council also urged Hamid Karzai to stop local television stations from showing Indian soap operas and movies, which are enormously popular in Afghanistan, but the religious nutballs say the soap operas include obscenities and scenes that are immoral. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, and one last thing. The council wants people who have been sentenced to be executed to be publicly executed on Friday right after midday prayers. God, I hate religion. Oh, I hate religion. Oh, I hate it. I'm coming at you. Last thing here, I think, until we get... Have we got results yet? NBC News is still not calling it for Senator Obama or Senator Clinton. But anyway, we have dropped to last among industrialized nations. We are last now in preventing or in halting preventable death. This is according to CBS News. We are last on this list of countries seeking to curb preventable death in people younger than 75. Using data from the World Health Organization, yada, 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 the researchers went through death rates from 19 countries. From 1997 to 1998, the U.S. had a high rate of preventable deaths, but it wasn't the worst-ranked country on the list. By 2002 to 2003... preventable death rates dropped in all 19 countries, including the U.S., but the U.S. had the mildest rate of decline, 4%, compared with 16% average decline among other countries. Since then, we've gone right in the crapper, once again, thanks to the Bush policies. But you know what the key factor here has been? The increase in Americans that have no insurance. Now, here we go. Here's the full list. There's just 19 here. The best country in preventing preventable death, and that sentence is grammatically correct, in preventing preventable death, number one is France. They do the best job. Remember Sicko? Remember Michael Moore's movie, how wonderful things were in France? Huh? They are number one. Number two, Japan. Then Australia, Spain, Italy, Canada. Norway is 7th, Netherlands is 8th, then Sweden, Greece, Austria, Germany. 13th is Finland, 14th is New Zealand, 15th is Denmark, 16th is UK, 17th is Ireland, 18th is Portugal, 19th, the U.S. Here we are.
We don't want no stinking single-payer health care. No, we don't want that. We want to continue what we're doing.
It's incredible, isn't it? Huh? It's incredible the stranglehold the pharmaceutical industrial complex has on this country, the medical industrial complex. It's unbelievable. The numbers keep getting worse and worse and worse. And we have one candidate, Dennis Kucinich, who is actually for single-payer, you know, socialized medicine. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I am coming at you!
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Have they declared a winner in New Hampshire yet in the Clinton-Obama race? No, too close to call. Well, and who won on the moron side? Oh, that would be McCain. Yeah, well, as soon as he gets to North Carolina, they'll start the rumors again. He's got a Negro baby!
Say baby.
And he'll be out of the race again. I got an email during the break. This is from a guy. He writes, "Hi, Mike. I've spent time in the Persian Gulf on various U.S. Navy vessels, and I wanted to remind you that the USS Cole was damaged using a small boat. Size does not define threat. Even a small boat needs to be taken seriously. I wasn't in the Persian Gulf last weekend. I do not claim to know the details of what happened. However, that there was not at least an exchange of small arms fire illustrates great restraint, especially compared to the Vincennes. I am not a big fan of violence, but I would not have the slightest problem with sinking any small vessel acting provocatively. If the Iranians come out looking for trouble, it is a shame to disappoint them." Okay, but like I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, we are the ones who have gone to their front yard and decide to pee all over their roses. So if they come out waving a broomstick saying, "Get off my property," then what? We have a right to machine gun them on the spot? What the hell is wrong with this mindset? Where does this come from? I guess it comes from 110 years of just absolute violent U.S. imperialism. I'm sorry, you pick a different term. If you don't like to hear your American talk show host use the term U.S. imperialism, then by God, give me a new one. That's exactly what it's been. Since the Spanish-American War, United States imperialism. Now, we have placed our big white ass in the middle of the Middle East, and we have made claims against other people's natural resources, and we have overthrown governments, and we have invaded nations to make certain everybody in the Middle East knows we are, by God, serious about taking their natural resources. And because one country steps out and says, we're going to send little boats after you, after we have threatened to nuke them, get real, guy! I mean, good God in heaven! We're the provocateur in this situation, not these dumbass little Iranian boats. If the Iranians come out looking for trouble, oh my God. I'll tell you what, guy. I would prefer you not email me again because I think you're a little bit twisted. I really do. I wrote back to you and I said, okay, if I come to your backyard and threaten to kill your family and you come out and wave a handgun at me and tell me to get off your property or get out of the alley behind your house that's neutral property, but I stand out there and say, no, I'm going to kill your family, and you're waving the handgun at me, which one of us is being provocative, guy?
I'm coming to you.
That's, you know who that is? That's Karl Rove.
I am coming to you. I am coming to you. I am coming to you.
My God, that sounds like something out of a Twilight Zone episode from 1968. Does it? Play that again. This is how Iranians sound.
I am coming to you.
Yo. I am coming to you. Be scared, American Yankee dog. I am coming to you. My boat is full of bombs. I'm coming to get you.
Jesus, God. Ron writes, regarding the PRT, the Provincial Reconstruction Teams, Ron writes, hi, Mike. The Chimp in Chief was proud of the work of the Provincial Reconstruction Teams that are spending our tax dollars on Halliburton projects in Iraq. So where are the Provincial Reconstruction Teams through Mississippi and New Orleans?
I am coming for to you.
Oh, my God. What else? Oh, yeah. Our good friend, the Music Factory in upstate New York, sent me. It's a screen grab from CNN. And what they're doing, they are calling the 08 election and the primaries the ballot bowl. You know, like the Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl, which is no longer the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl. Now it's the Chick-fil-A Bowl or whatever the hell it is. But CNN has this little thing here. It says CNN Ballot Bowl 08. And the copy says, CNN will again air long-form uninterrupted coverage of Democratic and Republican presidential candidates on the campaign trail this weekend, the network announced Friday. It will be anchored by CNN chief national correspondent John King, another political correspondent. And so the Music Factory writes, quick question, What the F is this? Must even this be dumbed down to sub-Neanderthal level? I think if Americans didn't have metaphors that were either sports or militaristic, they really wouldn't be able to friggin' speak. The ballot bowl? So, keep your eye on the ball, run that TD, get out there on the battlefield. Remember, this is war, pun if you have to, shoot from the hip, fight, fight, fight. Welcome back from your furlough. Better dead than red, the music factory. Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't get it either. The ballot bowl. Jesus God. Oh, yeah, and the National Chamber of Commerce, according to the LA Times, is warning the candidates. Here's what it says. Alarmed at the increasingly populist tone of the 2008 political campaign, the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, excuse me, is set to issue a fiery promise to spend millions of dollars to defeat candidates deemed to be anti-business. Anti-business, my ass. You mean anti-corporate takeover of America? Screw you people. Tom Donahue, the chamber president, said, quote, "We plan to build a grassroots business organization so strong that when it bites you in the butt, you bleed," end quote. That's what the president of the Chamber of Commerce said. "We plan to build a grassroots business organization so strong that when it bites you in the butt, you bleed."
The warning from the nation's largest trade association came against a background of mounting popular concern over the condition of the economy.
A weak record of job creation, subprime mortgage crisis, declining home values, on and on and on, the dollar going in the toilet.
"We plan to build a grassroots organization so strong that when it bites you in the butt, you bleed."
I'm coming to you.
So there you go. This is especially directed towards John Edwards, who has said that most of the ills of this country can be found in this corporate madness and the lobbyists and the way these sons of bitches are absolutely destroying. They already have destroyed, not irrevocably so, but close to it, the American system of democratic representative government. Oh, and by the way, did you see that video over the weekend of Sean Hannity's rather large ass running away from Ron Paul sign waivers? Did you see that? Sean Hannity, God, is he getting huge. Another limbo. Sean, get on the OxyContin and you'll lose the weight. It's a great video. Go to YouTube. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Sean Hannity running away from racist Ron Paul. Well, see, the supporters of Ron Paul don't realize what a neo-Nazi he is, what a racist he is. You know, the Stormfront organization in this country has backed him and sent him money. And he says, "No, I'm not giving it back." Why should I sing Heil? Never mind.
My dream is that there be a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Iraq.
But that's impossible, wackadoodle. You see, there's geography between them. Oh my God. All right, let's listen to some John Edwards, who apparently is coming in third in New Hampshire.
The nurses spoke on phone on her behalf, and then the insurance company said no again. Finally, the family stood up and fought. They started to march and picket along with many other Americans in front of the offices of this insurance company. And the insurance company finally gave in, but it was too late. And a few hours later, Nataline lost her life. A few months ago, I met a 51-year-old man in the mountains of Virginia named James Lowe. James had been born with a severe cleft palate. Because he had a cleft palate, he could not speak. A simple operation would have fixed his problem, but he had no health care coverage, and so he couldn't pay for it. Finally, someone voluntarily fixed his cleft palate, and now he can speak. The problem is they fixed it when he was 50 years old. James Lowe lived for 50 years in the United States of America, not able to speak because he had no health care coverage. Tonight...
Let's cut away from that, because I thought he was going to concede, which his wife already did. But, I said earlier in the program, I and the rest of the Malloys here are drifting towards supporting Edwards, but I just wish he would do what Kucinich has done and come out four square in favor of single-payer health care. Then the man with the cleft palate or the woman who died or the children who need their measles vaccinations or whatever. Don't send me emails about the Marisol, please. But, you know, maybe people can get medical care then. And I just wish Edwards would come out. His plan calls for what he calls true universal health care. It's nearly identical to Clinton's. And that is insurance companies and employers provide the coverage, and that Medicare should negotiate better drug prices. Duh. Oh, come on. Please, people, please. You're Democrats, for Christ's sake. Can you act like a Democrat? Anyway, there's Edwards talking about, well, it's more or less his concession speech, or not concession. Of course, he's not conceding squat, but acknowledging the fact that he and his campaign have come in third in New Hampshire. It appears that that's the way it's going to be. The Obama-Clinton thing is still too close to call. Quick email here from Kay in San Francisco. Mike and Kathy, while you're on vacation, I spent quite a bit of time listening to Tom Hartman. Yesterday, he interviewed Congressman John Conyers. When the conversation turned to the Bush crime family, Hartman brought up the fact that Bill Clinton failed to go after members of the first Bush administration for their crimes in the Iran-Contra affair. Hartman then asked Congressman Conyers what he thought a Democratic president would do regarding the crimes of the current Bush administration. Congressman Conyers stated on the Hartman program, and I quote, "We know that there are a number of federal criminal provisions that have been violated. We're documenting a study on what we call the imperial presidency. And what we're saying is that they should be followed through. They should not end the way they did under the Clinton administration by just saying, we're going to move on from here. I think these are frankly more serious and more problematic and will require a great deal of careful scrutiny, but we're not sweeping them under the rug, and we can't let any Department of Justice or new administration do the same," end quote. And then Kay writes, "Are you as stunned as I was by the congressman's remarks? Does this man not understand that his Judiciary Committee has the power to begin such proceedings now? Does he not understand the hypocrisy in stating that the next Democratic president must do what the last one failed to do, while he and the rest of the Democratic leadership in Congress fail constantly to do what the Constitution requires them to do? It's absolutely outrageous," Kay writes. "These congressional Democrats have abdicated their responsibility under the Constitution, and there should be consequences for that. Well, I know of at least one consequence is going to haunt Speaker Pelosi come election time, Cindy Sheehan, 08. Welcome back, Kay in San Francisco. Yeah, I'm as disgusted as anybody else with these filthy Democrats in Congress. I'm just wondering if a Barack Obama presidency or a John Edwards presidency would put some spine in these weaselly bastards and make them understand that they have got to resist the corporate takeover of this country. I just wonder.
I am coming for you. I'm coming at you.
What is it again?
I'm coming to you. My name is Karl Rove. I'm trying to sound like an Iranian.
Isn't that funny?
I'm coming to you.
I'm coming to you. You talk like this. Just like George Bush saying, Hola, I am here to talk with the Presidente of Mexico. Hello.
Still at war. It's in our country's interest to find those who would do harm to us and get them out of harm's way.
From those nads in Tiananmen Square, it's coming from the field that this ain't exact.
25 before the hour. One more time, because I mentioned at the top of the program, anyone who really thinks that Ron Paul is the savior of the United States, please wake up and smell the coffee. And don't take it from me. I couldn't care less about what you think about my opinion, because it's like having a rear end. Everyone has one. That's the cleaned up version of that. But just do this for your own edification. Just Google. Do you believe in Google? Google four words. Ron Paul, white supremacists. Just Google it, damn it. Take a look before you start blathering on about how Ron Paul is this maverick Republican. No, he's not. He's a goddamn closet Nazi. Please stop the nonsense. Just like Mitt Romney is a lying freak. And Huckabee wants to put all women back into U.S.-style burkas. For God's sake, wake up. Stop listening to the hype. Check these people out. Ron Paul, white supremacist. Take a look. Now, what are you going to find when you do that? Well, you'll find thousands and thousands and thousands of links to stuff he has written. Not stuff that's been written about him, but screeds written by Ron Paul, and then come back and, oh, yeah, well, I'm a Ron Paul fan, because, you know, I really don't like Negroes. I'm not too fond of Jews either. And queers? Oh, crud.
Now, while you're doing that, I'm forever amazed at Kathy's ability to round up audio when we need it. And with this kind of poor audio we have from
United States Navy
regarding the Iranians, we have finally found the session that was put together to record the "I am coming at you" audio. So, without further ado, can you run that little bit of sound? Go ahead.
Okay. Take one of "I am coming to you."
I am coming to you.
That was good. That was real good. Can you make it sound a little bit more robotic? Yeah, no problem.
I am coming to you.
How's that? Not bad. One more time. Get it a little more robotic-like if you could.
Okay. I am coming to you.
Perfect. That's a take.
My. You're good, Kathy. I'm astonished that you were able to find that. We'll have to pass that on to MSNBC and see if they'll play it.
All right. Shall we do some phone calls? These lines are virtually vibrating. Let's start with Will, who is calling from
Mitt Romney's home state, Michigan. Hey, Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. You know, this election year is just getting started, and I'm already sick and tired of it. I'm sick of the platitudes. I'm sick of the cliches. I'm sick of the empty promises. The only promise I'd like to see any politician actually keep is the one that they make when they're sworn in to protect and defend the Constitution. I'm sick of it.
Well, me too. But I don't know what. What are we going to do? We do have some hope.
It's time to get rid of the ballot box and go for the ammo box, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, not yet. We may be right on the verge, but as long as we have people walking around, that, you know, we don't want to give up the good because we can't get the perfect. And by that I mean, if John Edwards can just adjust on a couple of things, if Barack Obama could just adjust on a couple of things, these are not establishment Democrats by any means, I don't think. I mean, maybe you know something I don't, but I don't think. If Kucinich, it's a shame, but Dennis is not going to be nominated for anything except his congressional seat. So what have we got? We've got the possibility of getting some anti-corporate executive teams or team placed in the White House that will offer up some resistance, so that in the interim period there can be some organizing to get real progressives. Now, short of that, sure, there are a lot of people in this country who are starting to talk about revolution. I think they're talking so far about peaceful revolution, but they're talking about revolution in terms of refusing to vote, refusing to participate any longer. I've talked about a complete sit-down strike. So that may be all that's left. But every time I hear Edwards talk, there's a lot that Obama is saying that is true, is lacking substance. I'm not saying he's got all the answers or any of the answers at this point to some real sticky problems that are going to be handed off to the next president. I think he's light on policy, but I have to tell you, when it's been a long time since I've heard somebody who got me pumped about, hey, there is hope. What Barack Obama provides for me is hope. He really does. What John Edwards provides for me is the possibility of maybe a way out of this crap. So I don't know. I don't think we're ready for the fourth box yet.
Well, you remember what JFK said about revolution, right? He said when you make make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable.
Inevitable. I understand. I understand.
So, you know.
We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Okay. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, thanks, Will. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Let me just run down the positions here. Obama and Edwards on health care. He wants mandatory. Obama wants mandatory insurance for kids and more accessible coverage for adults, and it would be all funded by letting Bush tax cuts expire. What Edwards wants is what he calls true universal health care, but it's nearly identical to Clinton's. Regarding Iraq and Iran, Obama, he was against the war in 2003, wants out by the end of 2008, skipped the Iran vote, but says he'd talk to leaders face-to-face. John Edwards voted for the war, says he'd get out within 10 months, says he'd talk with Iran conditionally. Regarding education, Obama wants more money for Head Start, wants to make teachers accountable, likes merit pay in charter schools. Edwards matches Clinton on Head Start, also wants to offer 1 year of public college tuition. Social Security, Obama raised payroll taxes on the wealthy to solve the Social Security so-called crisis. Edwards, same thing. Energy, supports and is supported by clean coal, ethanol, and nukes. That's Obama. That's a little scary. Edwards, federal investment in renewables, an end to oil subsidies, and cap and trade. That's a little better. Immigration, Obama voted for the border fence, says illegals should, quote, go to the back of the line, end quote, for citizenship. but he did support driver's licenses in Illinois for undocumented workers. Edwards, beef up the border, pro path to citizenship. Like Obama, he says speaking English should be a condition for citizenship. Regarding executive power, Obama, stop warrantless wiretapping, close Gitmo, says, quote, no more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient, end quote. Edwards says, stop warrantless wiretapping and torture, close Gitmo, end presidential signing statements. And, of course, they're both pro-choice where it concerns, you know, I hate that term pro-choice. Pro-privacy for women is what that should say. Edwards wants to repeal Bush's tax cuts. Obama wants to let him expire. Where it concerns crime, Barack Obama, he supports the death penalty. He said the focus should be on education and job training instead of prison. Edwards supports the death penalty, also emphasizes education instead of prison. And as far as trade is concerned, Obama voted against CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, but for the deal in Peru because it had labor and environmental standards. John Edwards says NAFTA, CAFTA, and the Peru deal and other pacts have been, quote, a complete and total disaster, end quote. So, you know, again, to say no to the good because it's not perfect, to me, is self-defeating. But, you know, everybody makes their own choice here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Best thing to an impeachment hearing. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's 10 before the hour. By the way, I may be a guest on a radio program this Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time on KPHX and Nova M. So tune in. 11 a.m. Eastern Time this Sunday morning. I'll tell you more about it as we firm it up. That ought to be fun. Back to your phone calls. Len is calling from New York City, listening on the Internet. Len, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Barack Obama is giving his concession speech. You know, we kept hearing it's going to change, and... looks like Hillary and McCain have won in New Hampshire now, and I feel like the store just came up on the block with a sign in front that says, no change.
No change. Obama is giving a concessions speech.
He's only down by 4%.
I wonder if we can get some of this audio up. Hold on a second. Let me put you on hold a second, Len. I'll come back to you in a minute.
You bet.
All right. We'll put Len on hold. Let's see what we got here. Have we got if we can get some? Go ahead, Barack Obama. He's giving what is apparently a concession speech, but I don't know that it's a concession speech or not. All right, Kathy, come on, move quicker. Here we go. Where are we? Okay, wait a second. Here we go. MSNBC says Clinton defeats Obama in New Hampshire primary. I don't know how much is separating them, but it is not that much. Hold on, Len. Just stay right there. Okay, here we go. We want change is what they're chanting. Sorry, Lynn. We want change. For what? The parking meters out in front.
You, all of you who are here tonight, all who put so much heart and soul and work into this campaign, you can be the new majority who can lead this nation out of a long political darkness. Democrats, independents, and Republicans who are tired of the division and distraction that has clouded Washington, who know that we can disagree without being disagreeable, who understand that if we mobilize our voices to challenge the money and influence that stood in our way and challenge ourselves to reach for something better, there is no problem we cannot solve. There is no destiny that we cannot fulfill. Our new American majority can end the outrage of unaffordable, unavailable health care in our time. We can bring doctors and patients, workers.
All right, Barack Obama. Let's go back to Len. Len, did you hear some of that?
Yeah, sure did.
Okay, what's wrong with that? I mean, why are you against change?
No, I'm all for it.
Oh, you're for change. Oh, okay.
You know, I was really hoping that he would have swept Hillary, because I think...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was hoping that he would sweep it. The excitement to me was that young people started coming out, and I figured... You know, all the young people that started coming out, you know, might be sitting around the dinner table with their parents, and when their parents get these lying, hateful emails, you know, and shared it with them, and they started talking about politics, they'd turn around and say, what, are you crazy? Don't you know what's going on? But we're going to have to wait a little longer for that, maybe. So,
the one thing I don't understand is... What happened earlier today, I was watching some television. I don't know what channel, but Barack Obama was up by like 10 percentage points. He was 39-29 versus Hillary Clinton. And now it turns out Hillary Clinton got 39% of the vote. He got 36%. Now, there's not a lot of separation. But I just wonder who do the pundits talk to now? I mean, who is it that they go to and say, is it telephone polling? Is people who don't go vote? I thought that they had gotten a lot more sophisticated than to be this wrong. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm too much of a junkie on this stuff already. But I think that when they had polled people, I think women changed their minds last minute, because the exit polling showed that a lot of women voted for Hillary. You know, they might have thought they'd be voting for Obama, but I think when they got into the booth, they decided they'd rather have a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my only problem, you know, I was a big Biden supporter mainly because I thought he was the most electable, until I suddenly saw all these young people coming out.
Right.
And I figured, well, if you change the whole denominator, all the number of people coming out to vote, and they're all coming out on the Democratic side, then it doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama is leading the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just look back to, you know, to that time when John Kerry, about a year and a half ago, made that terrible joke that was misconstrued.
Yeah.
And Hillary, you know, and everybody was making a comment about it, and Hillary stood stone-faced, just like a Republican, suggesting that Kerry shouldn't, you know, be making statements that insult the troops, instead of saying something like, you know, I can't believe a colleague of mine can be such a bad joke teller.
Yeah, right.
So I really just wanted, you know, and Edwards at this point, you know, tonight should have been the night where he said, well, you know, I'm really more concerned about, you know, the party than my presidency, and I, you know, I really would like you to throw your support to Obama, because unless it's against Gravel and Kucinich, I don't think Hillary could muster more than 45% you know, on a one-to-one race against another Democrat.
I got an email here that may dispute that, but we'll share it with you when we come back. Len, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. Break, Truth Seekers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. A couple of emails here. Mike, if Hillary is a nominee, who will you be for? A Republican? Not vote at all? A Nader that will help Republicans? Can you please say you will support whoever the nominee is? Hillary has already fought the health insurance company. She knows what will happen if she says she will put them out of business before the election. Do you remember the ads they put out the last time she fought them? Give her some credit and please support whoever is the nominee. That's from Tricia. And Dale writes, Mike, it's been a while since we corresponded. I respect your opinion. I have been away from your show for a while. So tell me, if Hillary is the nominee, what do we do? She beats the hell out of any Republican. What do we do? Well, to both people, it's your call. I'm supporting nobody at the present time. I said I supported Kucinich as I did the last time until the primaries are over. I'm drifting towards Edwards. I can't support Hillary Clinton because she's Hillary Clinton any more than I could support anyone because of their name. I mean, I'm not sure what Trisha's point is. If the Democratic nominee, if the person who winds up as the Democratic nominee is somebody I fundamentally agree with and cannot support, then I can't do it. I mean, I've done that for maybe 4 or 5 or 6 presidential elections, and I'm sick of it. I just can't. I'm sorry. That makes me a bad party member. I understand. But I just cannot continue to vote for Republicans who run as Democrats. I can't do it. I'm sorry. So no offense, Tricia. And as far as Dale is concerned, what do we do if Hillary is a nominee? I don't know. When you cast your ballot, there's no we. It's just you, or it's just me, or it's just him or her. So I don't know what to tell you. I can't. You know, I can't answer those questions. Is Hillary giving her victory? Let's listen to a little bit of Hillary Clinton give her victory speech in the New Hampshire primary here.
Campaign. You helped remind everyone that politics isn't a game. This campaign is about people, about making a difference in your lives, about making sure that everyone in this country has the opportunity to live up to his or her God-given potential. That has been the work of my life. We are facing a moment of so many big challenges. We know we face challenges here at home, around the world, so many challenges for the people whose lives I've been privileged to be part of. I've met families in this state and all over our country who've lost their homes to foreclosures, men and women who work day and night but can't pay the bills, and hope they don't get sick because they can't afford health insurance. Young people who can't afford to go to college to pursue their dreams. Too many have been invisible for too long. Well, you are not invisible to me. The oil companies, the drug companies, the health insurance companies, the predatory student loan companies have had 7 years of a president who stands up for them. It's time we had a president who stands up for all of you.
All right. Yeah, I can certainly get behind a president that would stand up for all of us. I just don't know if it's Hillary Clinton. And you know, this has been an ongoing battle I've had with listeners and emailers for months now, about the not necessarily the electability of Hillary Clinton. I know a lot of us just want anybody with a D after their name in control of the executive branch, and enough people with D's after their names in control of the legislative branch in order to offset this nascent fascism that's creeping into this country. I understand that. But I'm not so sure that Hillary Clinton is a person who would absolutely put a stop to it. Again, if you look at her record, at her voting record, now, you know, people can say what they want to say about their votes after the fact, but I think Clinton has made it clear she's pro-war, she's in favor of tax cuts, she has no problem with torture, she is backed by just damn near every corporation in America now. As far as a woman's right to privacy is conditional, as far as the right to privacy other than the right to choose a medical procedure, Clinton has come down in favor of warrantless wiretapping. She is anti-gay marriage. She's anti-immigration where it concerns illegal immigrants and what to do with them once they're here. I think she's demonstrated that she is not the champion of the working class, neither was her husband. Look what they did. If Hillary Clinton wants to, by some form of weird political osmosis, say she's had 8 years' experience in the White House, then by God, she has to take the bad with the good, right? Hillary Clinton, then, by her logic, is responsible for manufacturing jobs by the hundreds of thousands leaving this country. Isn't she? Please? Well, as far as being pro-union, she is not. As far as being pro-environment, she is not. And that's one of the reasons I think true progressives do not care for Hillary Clinton. Now, y'all can send me emails and tell me, look, you know, what are you going to do if she's the Democratic nominee? And I will say back to you, I'm not sure, but I'm inclined to say, screw it. I will not vote for another Republican line. I'm sorry. If you want to do it, and God bless you. Or what, something bless you, go ahead, do it. I don't expect anyone who listens to this program to be the least bit influenced by anything that I say. You know, I'm that's not my shtick. I know there are a lot of people out there on talk radio, pundits and yada, yada, yada. Oh, this is the way to vote. You know, there's nobody that listens to this program is going to put 10 cents on what I say about a candidate. If you have any sense, you won't. I'm not here to tell people how to vote or what to think or what have you. This is a radio program. That's all it is. But if you ask me personally, what, I'm going to lie to you? I'm going to compromise yet again? No, thank you. I'm not going to do it. I compromised in 04. I compromised in 00. I compromised in 96. I compromised in 92 and 88 and 84 and 80. No,
Not going to do it anymore. If you want to, carry on. I've had enough. I'm sick of voting for the lesser of two evils. I'm sick of it. There are some Democratic candidates out there who are not getting the support of the American people because we, the American people, are dumbasses where it concerns of political decisions. We are abysmally ignorant. And we vote either sentimentally or romantically or because the family member tells us to, or some slick freak on television says do this, or on talk radio says do that. You know, so if you want to support Hillary Clinton, go for it. There are a lot of good people in this country who are going to support Hillary Clinton. And more power to you. I don't think I'm among that group. Sorry.
Than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. It's been an interesting night with these primary races in New Hampshire. Interesting to me. Hopefully, Giuliani is just gone now. I hope this freak is gone. As far as Senators Clinton and Obama, good luck. I think the fact that Obama came in second tonight it was a very close race. I think 3 percentage points separated the two of them, which translates to just a couple of thousand votes out of about 150, 160, 170,000 cast in this primary. I don't think the Obama thing is over in the least. I don't think the Hillary Clinton thing is over in the least either. It's just at this time I truly am going to take a more personal interest in where my vote goes, and I'm not going to be swayed by the people that say, "Well, you're wasting your vote if you do this or do that." I just can't do it anymore. I just can't. I got an email from someone who says, "Well, the lesser of two evils, but if you don't do that, then the greater of the two evils gets in office." That's the way I've been thinking for the past five or six presidential elections, and I can't do it anymore. If my conscience, when this thing shakes out, and it comes time for the general election, and if my conscience and political awareness and disgust with the system as it currently is operated tells me not to vote for whomever the Democratic nominee is, because he or she has demonstrated with their records that they are nothing but Bush light or Republican light, that I'm not going to vote for them. I just simply am not. Your choice will be different from mine. There's no question about that. There are a lot of people who still cling to the idea, well, it's just, you know, we've got to keep fighting. I have two words for you, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. Here's two more words, John Conyers. That's an extreme example. You don't have to get that extreme. Just look at their records. Just look at what they support. Look at what they voted for. And I am, frankly, disgusted with hearing members of Congress, especially senators, who don't have to worry about a reelection cycle every 2 years. They've got 6 years. That means 4 years they can do the business of government, at least four. I am sick of hearing senators say, "Well, when I voted for that resolution, I wasn't voting for George W. Bush to have the authority to send troops into Iraq. I was just voting to give him the emergency powers if necessary." Oh, give me a goddamn break here. What do I look like? Senators? Don't answer that. But I'm not that stupid. You're a senator. You're a United States senator. I don't care what your gender is, your race is, or your party is. You're a senator. You are a senator in the United States Congress. There are only 100 of you in existence. Don't tell me, after you have put your name in the yes column to ultimately invade a country that's done nothing to us, that you didn't understand what your vote was about. Because at that point, goodbye. As far as I'm concerned. And I've had enough of this. That's just one example. Don't tell me you voted for a bankruptcy bill that benefits corporate America at the expense of people who get in over their heads, and then say, well, we got to do something here. Don't tell me that. And don't tell me that you vote for tax breaks for oil companies and all this other crap, and then come to me during election cycles and say, well, I have to do that in order to get the funding, or, the next time I'm elected, I'll, promise, honest to God, two words, Nancy Pelosi, I'm not going to do it again. If you want to, go for it. Do it. Absolutely. Do it. And if enough people say what I'm saying and enough people withhold their votes from the Democrats and the Republicans do come in 08, tell me what the loss is. Tell me what a Republican administration is going to do, except maybe speed up the revolution. You tell me. There is a god-awful mess, a tsunami of troubles heading our way because of what has occurred in this country for the last 8 years, the last 12 years, actually. And it's coming like an avalanche. Now, if there's a Republican president in there and a Democratic Congress, both House and Senate, you know what I think about that? I frankly don't give a damn. Because I will depend on the Democratic Congress to stop the son of a bitch this time, rather than to go along like these Democrats have done for 8 years. So don't talk to me about, voting for the Democratic nominee, no matter who it is, because I'm not going to do it. I simply am not going to do it. If you want to, go for it.
Never say never.
Scream, you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, email here from Jasper in West Virginia writes, subject line says, take it one step at a time. Jasper writes, I also adore the pretty ideas of Kucinich and Edwards and Obama, but first things first, the Republican Party must be dismembered and a stake driven through it, and Clinton is the gal to do it. She hates those people like no one else and has every reason to do so. Sure, that certainly is one way to look at it. I disagree. I don't think Hillary hates Republicans as much as she, like most people who seek the presidency, wants the power. People who seek the presidency of the United States and go through what has to be gone through are not like you and me, Jasper. You and I would collapse after about the first, 30 seconds. I don't want to sound like a total cynic, but I can think of very few people from the current crop of Republicans and Democrats who are there because they want to really, truly, honestly, deeply work for the betterment of the American people. That may be a second or third or fourth or fifth reason, but I think the primary reason is because of power, because of what the presidency of the United States is. Sorry, that's just how I look at it. I really do. And again, as far as the next president of the United States is concerned, that person is going to face some real chaotic conditions. I mean, come on, let's be real here. George W. Bush and these rat bastards who have comprised the Republican leadership up until this last election have utterly and absolutely destroyed our regulatory system, our monetary system, our reputation overseas, our military, our environment, just on and on. Just pick something. You know, I've said it before, and I'm still waiting for some half-assed Republican to call in here and tell me one thing that the Bush crime family has done that benefits America in its 8 years, in its 7 years of being in this rat hole it's made for itself in the White House. And so far, of course, and I didn't expect it, no Republican has been able to do so because they have done nothing. The Republicans have done nothing except destroy, loot, rob, steal, cheat, lie, and screw up. So the next president is going to have to deal with this. When we talk about policies, government policies, we're not talking about necessarily, until recently here, party policies. We're talking about the person in the White House. If the economy was good during Clinton's years, it's Clinton's economy. If the economy was bad during Bush's years, it's Bush's economy. Remember, the president proposes, Congress disposes. So, fair or unfair, the president gets the credit or gets the blame. There is a monster coming towards this country. It truly, truly is. We don't talk about it because we don't dare. The financial meltdown is coming as surely as you're going to get up in the morning. As far as the bad paper, the $9 trillion of debt that this son of a bitch in the White House has accumulated for us, as far as the loss of value of the American dollar, I mean, this is stuff you and I don't really pay that much attention to, because when we go to the grocery store and buy our milk and bread and cheese and hamburger meat, yeah, what do we care, right? When we go to Target and buy socks for our kid, what do we care? But it's coming. So who should be in office? You know, some young, up-tempo, pro-positive man like Barack Obama? Should it be some experienced, not necessarily politically from a governing standpoint, but experienced woman like Hillary Clinton? Should it be someone determined to fight tooth and nail like Edwards? I mean, who should it be? Who should it be? Who? Why not hand it back to the Republicans, the executive branch? Can they do more damage? Only if there is another wimpy, rat-bastard, Democratic-led House and Senate. Then a Republican president can wreak havoc and hell with the Constitution, as this one has done. And this one has done so because of spineless, cowardly, turncoat, treasonous Democrats who could have stopped this crap 6 years ago. So don't talk to me, because I won't listen, about putting these sons of bitches in there again. No, won't do it. Now, here's my bottom line. I think Edwards would make a good president in terms of progressive ideas. Not a great president, but a good one. I honestly believe Barack Obama is inexperienced. Sorry. He really gets my blood pumping, makes me want to stand up and cheer for being an American again. Too inexperienced. Hillary Clinton is Republican light. Ain't going there. As far as the rest of the candidates, they don't have, on the Democratic side, they don't have an Ice Cube's chance in hell. So the bottom line for me, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, but I'm not going to jump through the hoop again, folks. I'm not going to do it. I've done it too many times. I'm not going to do it. We've got some crises facing us that are monumental. I want to see a Republican president for the next 4 years. That will put the stake in the heart of the Republican Party. Not Hillary Clinton, not Barack Obama, not John Edwards. Give it to a Republican for the next 4 years and keep control of the House and the Senate, veto-proof in the hands of Democrats, and let these sons of bitches in the Republican Party twist in the wind. Now, that's borderline what, apostasy on my part? I did too Machiavellian for you? You're too up-tempo for that. You're too much of an optimist. Malloy has just degenerated himself into absolute utter political cynicism. Is that what you think? Okay. All right. Then let's pick a nice Democrat to be in the Oval Office and watch him or her be stripped to the bone. And let's watch the American people, as stupid as we are, after 4 years of a Democratic president in 2012, when hellfire is consuming the country, politically, environmentally, financially, in terms of jobs, in terms of everything. And then watch the American public, as stupid as we are, put in another Republican majority that then becomes the permanent Republican majority. Is that what you want? You think it's a possibility? You think that's just bat squeeze? You think I'm just tripping here? Okay, fair enough. But that's how I see it. So in a perfect world for me, a perfect political world, I say, yay, yay, rip, roar, let's go, rah, 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 let's have a great political season. Hey, go Obama. Hey, go Hillary. Hey, go John. But in the end, Election Day 2008, stick another one of these filthy Republicans. Give it to McCain. Give it to Huckabee. Give it to this Nazi Giuliani. Go ahead. They can't do anything if there is a veto-proof Democratic House and Senate that stops the son of a bitch dead in his tracks. Then the Democrats can go ahead in the House and Senate and pass as much progressive legislation as they want. And when the rat bastard Republican vetoes it, then the Democrats in the House and the Senate override the veto, and we get the job done anyway. Does this make any sense to you, or have you gone so far off the deep end, like so many Americans have, that you believe this presidency crap is a popularity contest? This is hardball, folks. Don't you understand what this son of a bitch Bush has done to this country? Do you honestly believe that Barack Obama and a 5 or 6 seat majority of Democrats in the House or the Senate are going to change anything? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Hillary Clinton in the Oval Office and maybe 10 more Democrats in the House than we have now, and 3 more senators in the House, in the Senate than we have now, that somehow that's going to turn around the damage and destruction and the tidal waves of disaster that these Republicans have handed us? Do you think that? Are you that unconscious? Are you that caught up in American Idol crap that you think that, please, for Christ's sake, wake up. The president proposes. The Congress disposes. Don't you remember that from your high school civics class? If you have a psycho like George Bush as president and a wimpy, cowardly, disgusting, Democratic-controlled Congress like the one we've had, there is your chaos, truth seeker.
high heel, had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render.
Yeah, that's just
that frozen concoction that helps me hang on.
Thanks to the crew. Ian Huff, who engineered the program, answered your phone calls at our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. Billy Foster, our technical director. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. And thanks very much to MSNBC for the wonderful feeds tonight regarding the New Hampshire primary. One last thing here before we go back to your calls. This is from the French news agency, Agence France-Presse. Lights in the old city of Jerusalem will be turned off before dawn this week, so visiting U.S. President George W. Bush can get a better view of the sun rising over its ancient walls. Bush, who arrives in the Middle East on Wednesday for a visit lasting more than a week, has made a request to watch the sun rise over the old city from his suite at the King David Hotel, a municipal spokesman said on Tuesday. To make the scene more dramatic, the authorities have decided to turn off the lights illuminating the limestone walls before dawn on Thursday and Friday. The gesture is just one of several that Bush's Israeli host will extend to the president of their main ally during his landmark three-day visit this week. Awaiting Bush at his King David suite, reportedly costing $2,600 a night, will be a white terry bathrobe embroidered with his name in gold. Israeli television broadcast footage of the garment throughout the day on Tuesday. And the main highway leading into Jerusalem from the west, already plagued by traffic problems, will be completely closed on Wednesday after Bush arrives to allow the unhindered passage of the convoy containing his hundreds-strong entourage. Remember when Bush just about pissed his pants over the gold-plated pistol that somebody gave him that used to belong to Saddam Hussein? Remember that? It's got gold. And George Bush gets a gold embossed white terry cloth robe. It's good to be president. Devron is calling from Seattle, listening on KPTK in Seattle. Hey, Devron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, man. You really gave me cause to think there.
Say what? Say it again.
You gave me real cause to think there, man. A way to stand strong in your belief. And I'm going to take into consideration what you were telling us there.
Okay. Well, remember, it's only my opinion.
Yeah. No, I believe you, bro.
Okay.
You know, this crazy guy, Bush, I love the words that you have for him. You know, and this posturing thing that they're doing in Iran, I think that was all posturing. And I don't know, what do you think not to go off on a tangent with some type of conspiracy, but, you know, when you talk about giving it to a Republican, they're war-hungry mongrels.
But that's true. But it is up to the Constitution of the United States gives war making powers only to the legislative branch. Now, there was something passed, I think, during the Nixon, the Reagan years, the so-called War Powers Act. A simple act of Congress can rescind that and put it back the way the framers meant it to be. That the President of the United States cannot declare war on another nation. It is up to the Congress of the United States. So, yeah, all these Republicans are filthy, warmongering sons of bitches. Some of them are doing it because they think enough death will bring Jesus back. They are sick bastards. But it's up to the Congress to make war. Now, if there is a Republican president to absorb this tsunami of disasters that is heading our way, thanks to Bush, and the Congress is made up of strong, progressive Democrats who put in place a veto-proof majority, then all the legislation that you and I would want as a progressive can be passed, and when it's vetoed by some psycho like Huckabee or whomever, the veto can be overridden and it becomes law. This is the way to handle this. We are in dire times. What we are doing is what the Republicans and the corporate structure in this country, the power structure, what they're hoping for. We are treating this as though it were the Super Bowl. My man's going to win. No, mine's going to win. My woman's going to win. No, we're going to have the first African American. No, we're going to have the first woman. No, we're going to have a real Christian. Oh, huh, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar, all for America. Stand up and holler. That's what the sons of bitches have got us to reduce this to. When anyone who is thinking strategically will understand what we are faced with, what's coming. Now, why should it be faced by the first woman president, the first African-American president, the first truly progressive president, or a combination of the three? I frankly don't give a damn. Man, woman, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, black, white, I don't care. Just govern! And do it right. And do it from a progressive slash liberal point of view. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with what's coming. So what to do about what's coming? I'm not saying panic and run and go live in New Zealand. Stay here. It's going to get damn interesting in this country over the next 4 years. But give this office that has been corrupted and polluted and destroyed by Republicans, give it to another Republican. Give it to them. And in 2012, this country will be so sick of Republicans, they will disappear. The only caveat to all that is to make sure that there's a veto-proof Democratic majority of progressives in the House and the Senate. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Thanks for hanging out. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.